Hey everyone, before we start this episode proper, I just wanted to take a moment to say that this episode could be tagged not safe for work. Take that as you will. And now, let's get started.
This is gonna suck. I hate
Zombievers. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Is Gonna Suck, the podcast that exists. I'm your host, Chris McGinnis, and in this episode, I'll be talking about the horror comedy Zombievers, which is exactly what you'd expect it to be about from the title. This one has been a long time coming, and so I'm glad to finally get this recorded and put out to you. So let's get started. Zombievers. The movie begins with a truck belonging to the Mamaroneck Medical Research Facility driving down the road. Inside the truck are two employees having a conversation. The one driving is in the middle of telling a story about how his girlfriend was pregnant again for the second time in 4 months, and he convinced her to get an abortion again. Charming. His co-worker doesn't seem that interested. The guy driving then mentions he dated a guy for about a week, and his co-worker perks up and says he wants to hear all about that. The driver says there's really not much to tell. It was pretty much the easiest week of his life, since he and the other guy pretty much agreed on everything. Easiest week of my life. Except for the sex. The second guy then changed the subject, saying that his best friend had banned him from using the toilet at his house, and the driver sums things up thusly. The room is built for taking a shit, and then they act all shocked when you do it. It's not like you took a dump on his table or something. Guy number two, no pun intended, says he did actually take a dump on his friend's table, but gets no real reaction. The driver pulls out his cell phone, which is an older model flip phone, and he looks at it. Guy number two asks the driver if he sees the deer standing in the middle of the road. The driver says, yeah, I see it, while still looking at his phone. The truck very slowly slams into the deer, causing it to explode into a geyser of blood and guts. The truck swerves slightly after hitting the deer, and one of the metallic drums, most likely filled with some sort of biohazardous waste, falls off the back of the truck and into a nearby lake. The Mamaroneck guys assess the damage to the truck and the deer and drive off. The opening credits begin, and we watch the barrel float through the water as animations of people running and creepy-looking beavers pop up amongst the credits. The credit sequence ends with the barrel being stopped by a dam that some beavers have built. The beavers regard the barrel from the top of their dam with curiosity. A leak springs in the top of the barrel, and green liquid starts to squirt out. The beavers continue to observe with curiosity, and then we get the title card for the movie, which has the word Zombievers written in a bloody red dripping font. We cut to a truck stop. A girl in the bathroom is crying and texting. She goes to the mirror to reapply her makeup and gets a text from a guy named Sam saying, I'm sorry. She replies, you are a liar. And yes, she used the letters, not the full words, for you and are. I'm going to go ahead and guess that they've just broken up or something. As she stands in front of the mirror, there's a heavy knocking on the door when we hear a gruff voice say, got a shit! The girl hurries out and apologizes to the surprise truck at the door saying that the ladies' room was occupied. She runs off, and he hurriedly shuffles into the bathroom. The girl makes it back to a car where another girl asks what took her so long. She says there was no toilet paper, so she had to use her hands. The girl in the driver's seat laughs, and they drive off. We cut to the car on the road, and it's occupied by three girls. The girl we saw crying, who we soon learn is named Jen, the girl in the driver's seat, who we soon learn is named Mary, and a third girl in the backseat, who we soon learn is named Zoe, holding her dog named Gosling. Jen gets another text from Sam, and Jen is scolded by Mary, saying that she knows the rules for the weekend, no texting and no boys. Jen apologizes and says that she doesn't want the other two to have a lame weekend because of her. Zoe says maybe they should reinvite the guys, but Mary promptly tells her to shut up, adding that if Buck had cheated it on her, or Mary wouldn't be making a joke about every 5 minutes. Zoe then replies that Buck would never cheat on her, and then adds she was only kidding. She then goes on to tell Jen to relax, because this weekend is all about her. Mary says that she knows that she's asking Zoe to give up a lot this weekend, and Zoe says, yeah, about 6 inches, and we see that she's looking at pictures of Buck's penis on her phone. Thanks, movie. Not even 10 minutes in, and I've seen a dick pic. Really needed that. Mary asks to change the subject, and I wholeheartedly agree. Zoe asks Mary if the place they're staying at has electricity, and Mary asks Zoe if she wants to know because she needs a place to plug in her vibrator. Mary turns on some electronic music that doesn't really sound like over-the-top loud, but Zoe still acts as if her senses are being assaulted. Mary rolls her eyes and continues to drive, saying that she can't believe she's friends with people who have such awful taste in music. We cut to a boy fishing. He's wearing a baseball hat that says, Number One Dad. I'm not sure if that's supposed to be a joke or not, but I'm not making any preemptive guesses with this movie. Anyway, he gets a bite on his fishing line, but it overpowers him, and whatever has caught, whatever he's caught pulls him to the ground and drags the fishing pole into the lake. He picks himself up off the ground and walks toward the lake to investigate. As he does, we get a POV shot approaching him from behind, and we hear snarling. The boy turns around with a shocked look on his face, and then we cut to the girl's car again. They stop near the lake, and Jen admires the scenery. Zoe is less than impressed and asks Mary if her cousins throw their garbage right in the lake since there's a big piece of wood just floating in the middle of it. Mary tells her that that's a raft anchored there so people can use it. They drive up to the house and get out of the car, unpacking their stuff from the trunk. Zoe sets Gosling down and telling him, go kill some squirrels and to kill them good. That's not very nice. Zoe asks if they're actually going to swim in that bog, and Mary says that it's a lake, and yes, they are going to swim in it. Jen says she's never gone swimming in a lake before, and Zoe says it's probably not that different from swimming in a pool. Mary says it is different and because they're around nature, and Zoe says that just means Jen will get more bugs in her mouth. Mary sees the neighbor lady, Mrs. Myra Gregerson, approaching, and she tells Zoe to be nice. Mary makes introductions, and Mrs. Gregerson asks if she's come to take care of the house while her cousins are away. Mary says they're just up for the weekend, and Zoe says they were supposed to be having torrid getaway sex, but Jen's boyfriend cheated on her, so that's not happening. A pallor of awkwardness falls over this already awkward conversation. Mary tells Mrs. Gregerson that Zoe was kidding, and Zoe says, yes, totally kidding. None of us have had sex. Ever. Mrs. Gregerson replies, it's all right, Mary. My daughter is a total fucking bitch. A real whore. Congratulations, movie. You managed to get a genuine laugh out of me. Anyway, Mrs. Gregerson says that if the girls need anything, they know where to find her, and that she'd love to have them over for breakfast. Mary says she may take Mrs. Gregerson up on that, and they awkwardly part company. The scene ends with a point-of-view shot of someone or something watching them from the distance. The girls walk into the house, and Zoe sets Gosling down, telling him to go potty. You could have instructed the dog to do that while you were outside? Really? Zoe plops down on the couch and complains that the house smells, and Mary says that the house does not smell bad, it smells like wood. Gosling walks over to a bookcase, lifts his leg, and pees on the floor. Jen asks where the bathroom is, and Mary directs her to it. Zoe asks where the other bathroom is, and Mary tells her that there's only one bathroom, and Zoe says she'll just go right there on the couch. Mary asks her if she can't really wait 2 minutes for Zen, and Zoe replies, shh, it's coming out now. I hate to be that guy, but I really want her to meet an unpleasant ending before this movie finishes. Cut to Jen in the bathroom trying to use her phone, but there's no cell service. Zoe knocks on the door, and Jen leaves, heading back to the living room. Mary says she knew Jen was trying to check her phone, and Jen admits that she texted Sam back on the drive up. Jen asks how she's going to check her messages all weekend, and Mary says that she had never gone more than 24 hours without Instagram since before Instagram was a thing, and she's coping okay. Mary assures Jen that if Zoe can handle there being no service, Jen should be able to handle it too. Suddenly we hear a panic scream from Zoe, and she comes stomping back in the room, furious that there's no cell service, and accuses Mary of knowing that all along. Mary tells the other two it's not a big deal. People went without cell phones for thousands of years and suggest they get changed. Zoe says she doesn't want to get changed, she wants to send a text. We then cut to the girls walking down to the lake in their bikinis. Zoe declares she's going to get naked, and Mary tries to stop her, saying that someone will see her. Zoe says, who? Mrs. Gregerson? They're like two houses here. And she decides to take advantage of the weekend to get a tan without any tan lines, so she removes her bikini top and jumps into the lake. We then cut to the three girls on the raft, Zoe lying face down as Jen applies sunscreen to her back. After Jen finishes, she asks Zoe to return the favor, but Zoe says she's too comfortable and tells Jen to get Mary to do it. Jen complains that Zoe used her and Mary applies sunscreen to Jen's back. As they lounge, we see the Number One Dad hat float by in the background. Jen catches sight of a pile of sticks behind them, and Mary says it's probably a beaver dam. Jen says she wants to see a beaver because she thinks they're cute, but Mary tells her not to get her hopes up because she's fairly certain that beavers are nocturnal. Zoe asks if Mary learned that from Wikipedia, and Mary replies that she learned that from living in Indiana, so Zoe should know that also. Zoe says that all she knows about beavers is that they're fat-ass rats with stupid-looking buck teeth. Jen decides to take a closer look and jumps off the raft, swimming to the other side of the shore. Mary and Zoe follow her. Mary tells Zoe to cover up while they're walking around, and Zoe reminds Mary that her bikini top is back on the other side of the lake, unless she wants Mary to borrow hers. There doesn't seem to be any beavers around, but there's a lot of green residue on both the dam and the nearby beaver lodge. Zoe asks if it's beaver piss, and not sure what else to say. Mary figures it probably is. Just then the girls hear a noise and look up to see a bear opposite them. Zoe covers her chest, as if a bear cares that can see your breasts. They begin to back up very slowly when a shot rings out, sending birds scattering and the bear on its way. An older gentleman with a shotgun makes his way out of the woods. Mary thanks him and says he may have saved their lives, but the man says he doubts that since bears usually never attack groups larger than two people, and they are three. He asks if they're from out of town, and Mary introduces herself, saying that they're staying at her cousin's place. The man asks, McKellar's? Mary replies yes and asks if he knows them, but he says no. The man introduces himself as Smith, with a Y, in case your girls ever need to write me a check. Okay. Smith asks the girls what they're doing on this end of the lake, and Jen says that they were searching for some beavers. Smith replies, well, hell, ain't we all? Oh, goody. Not 20 minutes into the movie, and we get our first beaver meaning vagina joke. Great. Very classy. Smith tells the girls that if they see any beavers, it's best to stay away from them. Nasty creatures that can mess them up. Smith says you could cover up, and Jen says that Zoe lost her bikini top in the lake. Smith says he was talking to all of them and that there are decent folks around, families with kids, and they shouldn't be exposing their stomachs and weird little tattoos. The girls excuse themselves and head back to the other side of the lake, Jen saying that she's had enough excitement for one day as something watches them from the bushes. Cut to the house that night as the three girls are lounging in the living room. Mary brings up the existential question. Is it popcorn or popped corn? I think this may be as deep as the movie gets. The girls are playing Would You Rather, and Jen gives a scenario. Would you rather never be able to use a tampon, or never be able to use lipstick? Zoe dismisses that as lame and offers this set of options to Jen. Would you rather watch your dad violently murder your mom, or be raped by your dad while your mom watches? What the hell, movie? Jen chooses the rape scenario, and the other two call her out on being gross for choosing that. My patience with this game is not, with this movie is now beginning to run thin. Jen asks what the point of the game even is, and I agree. Cut to a POV shot of something running through the forest. I guess the medical waste gave the beavers the ability to turn their eyes into headlights as well, judging from how bright everything in front of them is. Back at the house, Zoe suggests they play Truth or Dare and says that Mary and Jen can make out like they did last time. Jen says that's no fun unless those guys are out to make jealous, and Mary calls bullshit on that, saying that Jen liked it and knows it, and teasingly asks her to give her a kiss. Suddenly they hear a loud thumping outside. Jen asks what that was, and Zoe and Mary jokingly say that's Jen's dad come to collect. Gross movie. Very gross. They hear the thumping again, and Zoe grabs a flashlight and decides to investigate. Mary and Jen follow, staying on the porch, telling Zoe to come back. The front door slams behind them, locking them outside. Jen begins to panic. Just then, a figure with a jacket over its head comes running towards the porch, yelling. Suddenly, it turns and farts at Jen and Mary on the porch. Turns out it's Tommy, Mary's boyfriend. She's more than a little pissed seeing him, and then we see Zoe in the arms of her boyfriend, Buck, walking out of the woods. Zoe put the boys up to dropping in, even though Mary had expressly forbade it. To quote Buck, Mary, I haven't had sex in 36 hours. You know how your foot feels when your foot falls asleep? Well, my dick's asleep, and I need to wake it up. I hope Buck comes to a brutal end in this movie as well. Just then, the front door opens, and the third guy, Jen's boyfriend, Sam, makes his way out onto the porch. Mary asks Sam how he even got into the house, and Sam replies, magic, and then corrects himself, saying that the bedroom window was open. He tries to get close to Jen, but she's not having any of it. Sam says he thought the weekend was supposed to be everyone, and Mary says that it was until he went and ruined it by cheating. Mary says that it's her house, and she makes the rules and wants the guys to leave, but Jen says it's alright, they can stay. Maybe it'll be easier for her to confront her problem head-on instead of running away from it. Zoe says they're all adults, and it doesn't have to be awkward, and everyone piles into the house. Sam tries to kiss Jen, but she brushes him off. Sam says, well, at least he can't get any more awkward. He's very wrong, as we cut to inside the house, and we see Jen and Sam sitting on opposite sides of the couch as we hear Zoe and Buck loudly having sex. We cut between Jen and Sam awkwardly sitting on the couch in the bedroom where Buck and Zoe are. Buck at one point says, I feel like a Power Ranger, and that wins the award for the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard said during a sex scene. Back on the couch, Jen tries to talk to Sam about what happened, but Sam keeps evading Jen's questions as she asks who the girl was. She pulls up a picture Sam was tagging on Facebook of him kissing this other girl whose face is obscured by her dark hair. If this ends up being Mary, I'm going to be pissed. Sam says he was really drunk when it happened, as if that was some sort of valid excuse. Jen slaps Sam, and he asks if that made her feel better. Jen slaps Sam again, and she says it's starting to, and walks away. Sam catches up with Jen in the hall when blocks her path. Jen says she'll scream, but Sam replies, "Join the club," indicating Zoe and Mary still in the throes of passion. They start to kiss, and Sam says he missed Jen. She then knees him in the groin, saying that she missed him too, and walks off. We cut to Zoe and Buck in bed, and Zoe's insatiable, saying that she wants more sex, but Buck says he needs an hour to recharge. "Don't you read magazines?" We then cut to Mary and Tommy in bed. Tommy asks Mary if she's alright, and saying that she seems out of it, and then asks if she finished. Mary says she just worried about Jen, and Tommy replies, "I'll take that as a no." We then cut to Jen in the bathroom. She turns on the shower and is getting undressed. As she gets ready to step into the shower, she hears a thumping coming from inside the shower. She thinks it's Buck being an asshole again, but when she pulls back the curtain, she sees a zombie inside. It growls and snarls from inside the tub, and she runs out of the bathroom screaming. Jen runs into the living room, where Sam's on the couch trying to tell him what happened. Everyone else walks in, and Mary immediately jumps to bad conclusions, seeing Jen sitting on the couch in a bra and panties, crying next to Sam. Sam swears he didn't do anything. Jen says there's a beaver in the bathroom, and Zoe sarcastically replies, "Well, that's great for Jen, since she'd been wanting to see one all day." Jen says there's something wrong with this beaver, it must be rabid, and Buck tells Jen that she's an ugly crier. Yeah, really helpful. The six of them go to investigate, with Sam the lead clutching a baseball bat. "I'm not drunk enough for this," he says. Mary says that he's just as drunk as the rest of them, and for him to man up. Sam hesitates a little too long, and Tommy rushes up, grabbing the bat from him, and opens the door. They find nothing. Buck, the sense of caring individual that he is, begins to mock Jen and asks her, "Be honest, did you shit in here?" Suddenly the Zombeaver pops out from the cabinet under the sink and tries to attack Buck. The Zombeaver is now my new favorite character. Tommy beats the Zombeaver with a baseball bat, trying to kill it. The process takes a while, but he finally succeeds as Buck is curled up in a ball, screaming. Tommy places the dead Zombeaver in a garbage bag and dumps it on the front porch. Everyone is gathered in the living room now, trying to take stock of what they've just seen. They're not sure if it's rabies, but there's definitely something wrong with that beaver. No one was attacked, though, so that's good, since rabies treatments are unpleasant, and Mary is at the nearest hospital is 30 miles away. Jen says maybe they should just go home, and Buck immediately disagrees, saying that it was a four-hour trip up and his foot is still asleep. Jen, however, does not care about Buck's foot. Mary says they're all drunk, tired, and upset, and thinks they should sleep out and make a decision in the morning. Jen says she's fine with that, but she's sleeping with Mary tonight. Mary says, "Sure, Jen, whatever you want." Buck speaks up, saying that they could die tomorrow, so he believes they should have an orgy tonight. A big old safety orgy, like they did in the Old West with the caravans. I'm no history expert, but I don't recall hearing about pioneer safety orgies. The scene ends with a cut to the front porch, and we hear faint growling coming from inside the garbage bag as it moves slightly. Cut to the next morning, and we see Smith walking in the woods, setting some traps. We hear the growl of a zombie, and he looks over in the direction of the noise, but nothing comes of it, and he walks off. Cut to the house, and everyone's getting ready to go swimming. Jen sees that the garbage bag on the porch is empty, and Tommy tries to reassure her that some animal probably got into the bag at night and dragged the beaver away, but Jen's not so sure. Everyone tells Jen to relax, and they walk to the lake. Jen says they were much better off before the guys came up, and Mary tells her that it's not a fair thing to say since Tommy killed the beaver that was in the house last night. Buck says it's a shame that Sam didn't do it because that'd be the only beaver he got this weekend. Jen says, "Can we please stop with the beaver jokes?" And I agree wholeheartedly. Buck then asks, "Why did the beaver cross the road?" And the scene ends. I can only hope someone punched him, and that's why we never heard the punchline. We cut to the lake. Mary and Sam are sitting on the raft. Zoe, Buck, and Tommy are swimming, and Jen's sitting away from all of them on the shore. Zoe tells Jen to be like the human beings and join them, and Jen asks if it's occurred to anyone else that there might be more beavers. Buck and Tommy respond in mock fear. Nice. Mary and Sam are talking on the raft, and Sam asks Mary if she's seen the infamous photo, and Mary responds she's seen it like 300 times since it was posted, and Jen has her trying to analyze every line and pixel to figure out who the girl is in it. Sam guesses that this means that Jen hasn't figured out that it was Mary in the picture then. Damn it, I hate when I get plot points right sometimes. Sam asks Mary if she's going to tell Jen about it, but Mary says she doesn't know. Sam assures Mary that if she tells Jen it was nothing, she'll believe her, but Mary's convinced that Jen will hate her as a result. Meanwhile, Jen slowly makes her way into the lake, but stops short when we see a point of view underwater shot punctuated with the sounds of the beaver. Jen freaks out, having felt something spin by her foot. Zoe calls her a hypochondriac and laughs at her. Suddenly, Buck sinks down into the water, and Zoe thinks Buck is making fun of Jen and has a good laugh at this. Buck then pops up and pulls his severed foot out of the water. Holy crap, another zombiever attack. One attacks Tommy as well. Mary and Sam notice the commotion and look up from the raft and tell the three in the water to swim towards the raft, noticing blood is now staining the lake. Zoe, Buck, and Tommy make it back up onto the raft with a zombiever clinging to Tommy's shoulder, which he flings back off into the lake. Mary's understandably freaked out, saying that beavers don't normally do this. They don't attack people. Buck lies down on the raft, bleeding badly, and Tommy says they need to tie off the wound. Zoe offers her bikini top, but Tommy tells her that'd be too small, and instead they opt to use the flotation vest that Goslin was wearing. Mary turns, looks at the shore, and sees that Jen is no longer there and screams out her name. Cut to Jen as she's run back to the house. She tries to pick up the phone that's on the wall of the kitchen and call for help, but there's no signal. We cut to a shot of the telephone wires outside having been cut with beaver claw marks on the walls behind them. Cut back to the raft, and a couple of zombievers are swimming towards it. Things go quiet for a moment, until it turns out that the zombievers have gone under the raft and are attempting to tear it apart from beneath. Cut back to the house, and the zombiever attacks Jen. Back to the raft, and the zombievers are attacking from all directions. Sam says they have to swim for it, but they need a diversion. So he picks up Goslin and tosses him into the lake. The dog swims toward the shore, and the zombievers pursue him. And just when it looks like he'll make it, the zombievers pounce and kill him. Damn it, horror movies, why do you always go and kill the puppies? Also, go to hell, Sam. Dog-killing asshole. The five of them jump off the raft and swim for shore, with Sam and Tommy dragging Buck. Cut back to the house, and Jen is still being attacked by another zombiever. She scrambles onto a kitchen counter, and the zombiever follows as she stabs it in the neck with a large knife. Jen runs to the front door as the others come running through it, leaving a trio of zombievers growling on the porch outside as the door shuts. Cut to that night as we see zombievers standing in front of the house, growling. In the kitchen, everyone is observing that zombiever that Jen had stabbed on the counter. Sam says it's the same beaver that they found in the bathroom last night. Tommy asks how it can still be alive. Jen says it isn't, and Tommy asks her, "Are you saying what I think you're saying?" And before Jen can say anything else, Sam grabs another knife and stabs it into the zombiever's neck, presumably now killing it. The six are now in the living room, and Tommy picks up the phone, only to find no dial tone. Zoe is understandably pissed at Sam for sacrificing her dog. Sam says, "If it comes down between us and the dog, I'm picking us every time. And if that makes me an asshole, so be it." Zoe tells Sam that this does make him an asshole, and she starts hitting him. Mary tries to hold Zoe back, and Zoe says she's not surprised she's taking Sam's side. Mary says she's not taking anyone's side, and Zoe replies, "Tell that to Jen." Jen wonders what Zoe meant, and Zoe tells Jen that Mary was the girl in the picture with Sam. I can't tell if I'm glad this didn't end up being a last-minute reveal, or if it was really a good idea to bring that up within 34 minutes being left of the movie. Mary apologizes to Jen, but Jen says it doesn't matter because they have bigger problems now. Just then, a loud thumping is heard outside. As this happens, the zombiever in the kitchen begins to thump its tail also. Despite being almost completely bisected and stabbed-tized, this damn thing still isn't dead. Sam stabs it again and rips its head off, throwing the severed head outside off the front porch. Okay, now I'm pretty sure it's dead. Back in the living room, the five conscious members of the group try to make a plan. Tommy suggests going to the neighbors to use their phone, but Sam shoots down that idea. Mary says they need to get Buck to a hospital, and Tommy says that he'll drive Buck to the hospital and then send help, while Sam stays at the cabin with the girls. Zoe says she'll go with Tommy despite everyone's protests. Tommy tries to reassure everyone, saying that beavers may be great swimmers, but they're not very fast on land. Sam replies by scoffing, and Jen says that whatever those things are, they aren't beavers. Tommy tells Mary he needs to use her car, since it's parked close to the house and needs her keys. Mary tells Tommy he doesn't have to do this, but he persists, and she gives the keys to him. Tommy and Zoe carry Buck to the car and manage to drive off without incident. Mary thinks maybe they should have gone with him, but just then a zombiever slams itself against the window, startling the remaining three. Sam tries to push a TV set in front of the door in order to barricade it, but he's kind of a weakling, so Mary pushes him aside as she and Jen move the TV themselves. Sam says the thing to board up all the windows. He'll do all the heavy lifting, and the girls are safe with him. I give him 20 minutes until he's dead. We cut to the Gregerson house, and Mrs. Gregerson asks her husband if he heard anything like banging and hollering. He replies, "Probably just those kids scissoring each other to Lady Gaga." Mrs. Gregerson says she knows it's the kids up at the house, but wonders if they should go check it out. Mr. Gregerson tells his wife she never knew when to mind her own business, and reaches over to pet their golden retriever. Mrs. Gregerson replies that he never knew when to get off his ass, and Mr. Gregerson says, "What do you want me to do, go check on a bunch of college girls?" And then adds he may just join their party if he does. Mr. Gregerson finds himself hilarious, and his wife calls him a pig as she walks upstairs. Mr. Gregerson reaches down to pet the dog again, only now a zombiever has taken the dog's place. This can't possibly end well. We cut to the car driving down the road, and they encounter a roadblock, or, more accurately, a dam that's been built on the road by the zombievers. Tommy and Zoe are pissed. Tommy then sees a pickup truck behind them, and seeing no one inside, decides to check the back. He finds some guns and an axe. He gives Zoe the axe and tells her to go back to the cabin and get everyone together. He'll go on ahead on foot and try to get some help. As Zoe gets back in the car, we hear a tree fall and a cry of pain. Zoe gets out of the car and runs back to see that a tree has fallen on Tommy, killing him. We then get a close-up of two zombievers standing in front of a tree stump, basically nodding at each other in acknowledgement. I swear, if the effects people would have been able to do it, they would make these two zombievers high-five. Another zombiever approaches and tries to attack Zoe, but is blown out of the air by a gunshot. Smith comes running out of the woods and offers to help. Zoe says they need to save her boyfriend, so they grab Buck and throw him into the pickup truck and drive back up the road. Cut back to the house as Jen, Mary, and Sam are trying to fortify the place. A zombiever breaks through a window and it's barricade in the kitchen, but Mary fends off with a knife. Mary reminds Sam that the whole point of a beaver is that it chomps through wood. Sam replies that if Mary wants him to surround the house with sheet metal, she just needs to give him the word. Cut back to the truck. A voice comes on the radio saying, "If you're receiving this broadcast, barricade your doors and windows and stay inside your house. Unless you want the deal of a century!" It's a commercial for a car dealership. Zoe is not amused. Smith turns off the radio and says in the 70s the whole county was stirred up by reports of beaver fever, a disease caused by the Giardia parasite that not only affected the beavers, but also the people. Zoe asks how it affected people, and Smith replied, "Diarrhea, mostly." Smith goes on to say that whatever's happening now is much worse than beaver fever, and that he caught a beaver in a trap this morning and it wasn't dead when usually the traps would make sure it was very dead. Back at the house, the zombiever onslaught continues. After a few seconds, though, everything stops and the zombievers back off into the shadows. Jen hears a truck approaching, and they see Zoe and Buck in it. Sam wonders how they got back so fast. Jen says maybe they got help, but Sam says it's also possible that something went terribly wrong. Well, they're both sort of right. Jen says they still have to get the boards off the door, and Sam asks if that's really a good idea, reminding them that the zombievers are still out there. Mary and Jen are not deterred, and they try to unblock the door. Zoe, Buck, and Smith make their way onto the porch, waiting for the door to be operational again. Buck gets Smith and Zoe's attention, and we see about a dozen pair of glowing eyes in the distance. Smith fires into the darkness, killing one of the zombievers, and the three of them leave the porch and make their way to the Gregersons' house, with the hunter picking off zombievers on the way. Mary, Jen, and Sam are relieved to see their friends, and Smith make it to safety, and Mary wonders if Tom's still okay. Jen says she's sure he is, and he's getting help. Sam follows up saying, "Right, because there's no other possibility." What a dick. Over at the Gregerson house, Zoe calls out to see if anyone is home, but gets no response. This doesn't bode well at all. Zoe and Smith explore until they come across Mr. Gregerson's corpse. Zoe notices that the phone lines have been chewed through here as well and wonders if the zombievers are doing that on purpose. Smith tells Zoe to stay there while he checks upstairs. Back in the other cabin, Mary is reading through a book about American wildlife and is at the section about beavers. "Beavers are monogamous," and Jen replies, "Not like us." Mary and Jen start to argue, and Sam says that when they're all far away from the cabin, they can sit down and discuss things and figure out why they both find him so attractive. I highly doubt you're going to survive the night. Sam says they can't turn in on each other, it's what the beavers would want. Jen takes the book from Mary and continues to read. "Beavers are especially adept at building tunnels." Jen quickly pulls her feet up onto the couch and Mary leaves the room saying that she needs to lie down. We cut back to the Gregerson's house. Smith explores the bedroom upstairs and finds Mrs. Gregerson's mutilated corpse in the bed. "Okay," he says as he exits. Coming back downstairs, he tells Zoe that upstairs is all clear. Zoe asks about Mrs. Gregerson and says that she's in bed. What's left of her, at least. Zoe is packing Buck's foot in a large plastic bag full of ice, and Smith tells her that's not the right way to do it, and there's really no hope in getting it reattached tonight since there's no way they'll make it to a hospital in a timely fashion. Plus, the fact that the beavers are more active at night, so it might be better to try in the morning. Zoe doesn't want Buck to bleed to death overnight, and Smith says that he can try to cauterize the stump. Also of note, Smith isn't eating a chicken leg this entire time, and continually asks Zoe if she wants some. That entertained me. Cut to Jen standing in a doorway. It's the bedroom where Mary is trying to sleep. Mary puts on her glasses, and Jen gets on the bed and starts crawling towards Mary. Mary thinks Jen is trying to seduce her, and says that she will now realize that Jen didn't care that Sam cheated, but rather was the fact that Sam cheated with Mary is the problem. Mary tells Jen that this won't solve anything, and that while she loves Jen, she just doesn't think of her in this way. Then Jen's nails suddenly begin to grow, and her teeth shatter out, becoming replaced with two large buck teeth, and she turns into some sort of were-zom-beaver creature? Jen tries to attack Mary, but Sam runs him with a baseball bat and clubs Jen in the back of the head, and he and Mary escape. So, wait, that happened? That wasn't a dream sequence? What the fuck, movie? Cut back to the Gregersons' house, and we see Buck lying on the couch with a piece of wood in his mouth to prevent screaming as Smith gets ready to cauterize his leg wound. Zoe asks Smith if he's done this before, and Smith replies, "No, ma'am, but I've seen it on television plenty of times." Very reassuring. Just then they hear a rather loud, deep growl, deeper than the sounds the zombie made. Zoe and Smith go to the window to investigate, and initially see nothing. Suddenly, Buck pops up behind Smith, and he's gone all were-beaver also, attacking the hunter and tearing the skin from his face with his new buck teeth. Zoe grabs Smith's rifle and aims, trying to shoot Buck to get him off Smith. She misses. She shoots again and manages to shoot Smith through the eye instead. Wonderful marksmanship. Zoe turns to open the door, only to find a zombie on the porch. It thumps the top of her foot with its tail, and she falls over. Scrambling to her feet, Zoe runs upstairs to try and get away from Buck. Zoe runs into a room and shuts the door behind her. At this moment, I think, it's the bedroom. Mrs. Gregerson is now a werebeaver. This will not end well. I guess I'll have to find out later, because we cut back to the other cabin and we see Mary and Sam nailing boards to the door, barricading Jen inside. Mary wonders if this was caused by some sort of virus transferred by the beavers, and Sam hopefully responds, saying, "No shit." Mary asks if it's permanent and if they can help Jen at all, and Sam just says that Jen will probably be on a lot of medication for the rest of her life. You are not helping at all right now, Sam. Seriously, dial the sarcasm back. Mary asks Sam if he was bitten, and Sam says no. Mary tells him to take off his shirt as some zombievers begin busting through the floorboards. We cut back to Zoe as she's using the light from her phone screen to examine her surroundings. We see a form set up on the bed behind Zoe, and yep, it's Mrs. Gregerson. She's gone zombiever. She rips a patch of hair off the back of Zoe's head, and Zoe tries to shoot her, only to discover that she's out of ammo. With no alternative, Zoe leaps out the window, which we see happen 3 times from different angles. Been a while since I've seen that. Thanks, movie. Zoe lands on the lawn outside and, well, I'm not sure how she fared because she's laying up with her eyes closed, and we cut back to the other cabin with Mary and Sam playing Whack-A-Zombiever in the living room. Back in the bedroom, the changed Jen has worked herself into a frenzy and is now attempting to rip the door off its hinges. Sam takes a swing at another zombiever that has popped through the floorboard, but unfortunately this one chomps on his baseball bat, shattering it. It does make for a nice pointed stick, though, so Sam stabs the zombiever with it, and Mary bashes it with her hammer. Mary and Sam run down the hallway and head into the bathroom. Sam looks out the window, and another group of eyes glow ominously in the darkness. Sam says that he thinks the truck was still running, but Mary says she's not making a run for it. Mary then insists that Sam take his shirt off. After he does, she tells him to take everything else off. After looking him over and finding no sign of injury, Sam asks, "Satisfied?" Mary says she guesses so, and then Sam tells her to undress. Mary strips down to her bra and panties, and Sam starts to notice some sort of mark on Mary's body right below where her bra is, and then they start making out. Sam tells Mary that he will get them out of there, and Mary tells him not to talk. We cut to a zombiever chewing on an electrical outlet in the living room. The thing gets electrocuted and catches fire, scurrying towards some curtains, which it sets ablaze. That may be the goofiest thing I've seen in this movie. Maybe in any movie. Back in the bathroom, Mary wants to take her glasses off, and Sam tells her to leave them on because it looks hot. I agree. As they continue to make out, Mary says that she smells smoke. Sam says that he'll go investigate, and then Werebeaver Jen breaks through the wall and bites Sam's schlong off. You heard me. Mary takes this opportunity to run out of the bathroom and finds the living room is an inferno and some zombievers are beginning to close in on her. Just then, the pickup truck drives through the wall of the cabin with Zoe in the driver's seat. Zoe asks where Jen is and Mary says, "They're all dead, just go." They drive down the road a little way until they encounter Werebeaver Smith. The two girls duck just as he fires at the truck with his rifle, shattering the windshield. This causes them to skid off the road and crash into a tree. And suddenly, Mary has a shirt on again. Some shadowy figures of the other zombievers begin to approach as Zoe tries to start the engine, but the engine won't turn. Suddenly, we hear a large roar and we see, I shit you not, a zombieaver bear. Zoe says, "Really?" And I'm in full agreement. The cabin continues to burn as Smith, Buck, and Mrs. Gregerson approach the truck. Miraculously, the truck starts up and the girls are on their way again. After a few seconds of peace, Werebeaver Jen pops onto the windshield from the roof, startling the girls. Zoe hits the brakes, causing Jen to tumble off the truck and then drives forward, crushing the blonde skull under her tires. Zoe remarks, "I never liked that bitch anyway." Cut to Werebeaver Mr. Gregerson and the zombieaver gnawing on a tree, which falls just as the truck passes by, allowing the girls to escape. Gregerson and the zombieaver look around in confusion, and I'm relieved that there are less than 10 minutes left in this movie. Zoe and Mary drive along until Zoe stops driving since they've come to the area where the land dam is blocking off the road. Zoe tells Mary they have to continue on foot and start walking, Zoe carrying the axe, using it like a cane to support her unstable walk. They pass the tree that fell on Tommy, and Zoe tells Mary not to look, to just ignore it. As they walk along, Mary suddenly stops and Zoe asks what's wrong and sees Mary holding a small revolver pointed at her. Zoe asks Mary where she found that, and Mary says she found it in the glove compartment. Mary says she has to shoot Zoe because Zoe's going to turn into one of those things. Zoe says that she's not going to turn and says all the cuts and scrapes on her body are from her jumping out a window and running through the forest. Mary's not convinced and keeps the gun trained on Zoe. Zoe says that Mary has to at least wait until she turns first, otherwise that makes Mary a murderer. Mary slowly lowers the gun. And then she begins to turn. Damn it, movie. I liked her. Why'd you do this? Zoe hits Mary in the head with the blade of the axe and continues to use the axe on Mary until she finally dies. So, wait, the character I disliked immensely from the start gets last girl status in this thing? Bullshit. Mary limps down the road, still using the axe as a cane to support her. She turns behind her to see a pillar of smoke rising in the sky from the burning cabin. She sees a vehicle approaching in the distance and drops the axe in front of her in order to flag down the driver. We cut to the inside of the vehicle and, oh god, it's those two chuckleheads from the beginning of the movie again. Guy number two asks the driver, "Do you see that girl?" The driver, once again looking at his phone, says, "Yeah, I see her." And guy two simply replies, "I trust you." The truck approaches Zoe and we cut to a title card on a black background before we hear the sound of blood splattering. Yep, she's dead. We get a couple minutes of bloopers and then the credits roll with a big band era sounding song playing that sums up the movie. We then get a post-credits scene where a camera pans through the forest and we see a bee flying towards a hive that is covered by hundreds of other bees. And amongst the sounds of the bees buzzing, we hear the creature growling sound that popped up often in this movie. Could this mean that zombies is next? Lord only knows. So, that was Zombievers. Now, despite what is said during the intro sequence, I didn't hate this movie. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was a particularly great movie, but for what it was, a schlocky creature feature horror film, it was okay. And it was short, too. Just, it was like a hour 17, something like that, which I think was just long enough for this movie. I'm not sure if I could have been able to take it if it was much longer than that. But, yeah, that was Zombievers. That was definitely a thing. It's on Netflix Instant if you're interested in checking it out for yourself. Okay, that does it for this episode. Thanks again for tuning in. Next week, this will be a pilot episode of a new podcast I'm calling Wrestling with Hindsight. It'll basically be me taking a look at a wrestling event and talking about how my recollections of it, you know, at the time, looking back on it, how it shaped me as a fan, and when possible, how it shaped things in pro wrestling. And I figure since it's the pilot episode next week, why not go with another first for the actual content, the first episode of WWF Monday Night Raw. And as that one is going to be, as I'm calling it, a pilot episode, it'll determine from listener feedback as to whether or not I will continue with it. So when that one comes out, any sort of questions, comments, feedback, and so forth about it, send to chrismcg1983@gmail.com. If you have anything to say about the first episode of Raw that you want me to talk about on the episode, send that also to chrismcg1983@gmail.com. And like I said, depending on listener feedback, that will determine whether or not Wrestling in Hindsight becomes a regular or semi-regular part of Thoughts Out of Context Productions. So, as I said, email chrismcg1983@gmail.com with any sort of questions, comments, feedback, and so forth. Become my friend on Facebook. Join the page on Facebook, Thoughts Out of Context Productions. Follow me on Twitter, if you so please. That's at DramaGuyCJM. That's DramaGuyCJM. If you'd like to become a patron of the show through Patreon, please check the page out. That's patreon.com/DramaGuyCJM, patreon.com/DramaGuyCJM. If you become a patron, you have the option of kicking in a little financial contribution to the podcast in an effort for me to further improve things. I'm currently hoping to try and upgrade my account on Podomatic, where I host the podcast, so I can get larger storage capacity and larger monthly bandwidth. For as little as $1 per podcast episode that I post, you can become a patron. And as a patron, I will gladly thank you by name at the end of every podcast. We've reached that time now, so thank you as always to my patrons Rachel Delecta and Eddie Landis. And being a patron is cumulative. For every $5 that you have donated to the podcast through Patreon or through other means, that gives you what I call a credit to suggest something for a future episode of This Is Gonna Suck. So, like I said, if you want to help out the podcast and offer a suggestion for something for me to torture myself to sit through, consider becoming a patron over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/DramaGuyCJM. I thank you in advance. Okay, that will do it. Thanks again for listening. Hope all is well in your respective parts of the world, and I will talk to you later.